Blog Talk Radio.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Twisted Tuesday with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mystery or two. I hope everyone's having a good week and I hope you're enjoying our the beginning of our Christmas celebration. It's only day two. Thank you for listening in and contributing your poetry. Hey, Naomi. Hey, Pam. How are you both tonight?
Doing great. Yourself?
Well, you know, I am what I am, right?
I was on mute. Absolutely.
Hello, girls. I was on mute. I was saying hi on mute. Saying hi to myself, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. So, Naomi, tell us about your contest for this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to go with all... I started out with vintage Christmas cards, and my brain just flew everywhere. As usual, I can't keep a straight track. So I ended up with I don't know how many prompts. Oh, my gracious. You know, I have to do like Pam was, we were talking the other day on a show. I have to start trimming down like I trimmed down my tree. I have to start trimming down my prompts.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I understand that. I mean, I'm the queen of a bazillion prompts myself, but so I know how that works. But that's good, though. It gives people something to think about. And it is Twisted Tuesday, after all.
Oh, yeah. So we can be weird. We can be weird and twisted.
Well, we can be a little jumbled anyway, you know. Yeah, that works. But,
yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to the from the prompt side.
Yeah, we have quite a few. So, yeah, I'll put up, you know, we don't have any callers for right now. No, we're just
we do actually. I would like to welcome Lauren to the show. Welcome, Lauren.
Hello.
Glad you could join us.
Hello, Lauren.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone. I think you had 38 prompts, Naomi.
Don't
we? C'est beaucoup, eh?
C'est beaucoup, oui. Oh, yeah. I have 40 for New Year's.
Wow.
My gracious, I have to really start trimming down the prompts. It's too much. I think people get dizzy.
Yeah. Hi, Pam. Hi, Jean. Good to hear you guys.
Yeah.
So, well, if you want me to go ahead and start, Phil, I can put up our first write. And And this is by Danielle Zam and Laurent, our guest. Why don't you go ahead and give that a read with your amazing voice?
Stop it now. Come on. All right. Christmas on a Farm by Daniel Zam. In late November, the wood-burning stove was put to use to make all kinds of desserts, plum puddings, sugar cookies in the shape of Christmas trees and snowmen, then stored in plastic containers. Next was made a Christmas cake with cooking rum and plump raisins with wine gums. A huge turkey grown on the farm was picked for the Christmas meal, feathers plucked from it by immersing it in hot water. Then the innards were removed. Stale bread was crushed up with a masher to make the stuffing inside the turkey, frozen before being used. The wonderful aroma of food cooking over a wood fire would send you salivating with anticipation. Sometimes a wreath and candle were placed in the middle of the table as a centerpiece. On another table sat half a popular log, drilled with three candle holes and decorated with green holly. A candy dish filled to the brim with fudge and black licorice squares. One side filled with hard Christmas candy. To the young, it all seemed a magical time of wonder, almost taking on a fairy tale time. An unwrapping presents was the finale. End poem. Should have been finale.
Oh, what a beautiful write and what a an awesome read there, Laurent. You know, this I just loved this write by Danielle Zam here. You know, he brought back all the those memories of those Christmases, you know, that I used to have with my great-grandmother on Prince Edward Island, where, you know, they lived on a farm and, you know, they ate from their garden and from the, you know, the farm, the farm animals. So the rooster would and the turkey, and the turkey would be, you know, the one going. It wouldn't be a Merry Christmas for him, but a Merry Christmas for us. But you know, everything was just, you know, was just taken off right off the land there. So. Great, great memories of our family on PEI. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write, taking a look at those memories of Christmas on a farm. And I like how it shows it in the end stanza as a magical time of wonder for the children and the young. But it also gives us a peek of the reality of Christmas on the farm, especially in that stanza that mentions, you know, feathers plucked from it by immersing in hot water, then the innards were removed. I thought that was a nice touch that really added to the reality. But the what really appealed to me is the mention of the aromas, the wonderful aroma of food cooking over a wood fire, which sends you salivating with anticipation. Just wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. The aromas in this poem really, you know, and you know, that wooden stove, you know, in French we call it la truie, which is the, I don't know, la truie is a female pig, but the wooden stove is called la truie in Quebec. And that would be the most expensive piece in the whole house, was that wooden stove. And it was the, you know, big iron wooden, you know, big iron stove. And, you know, that it would be, yeah, the most expensive piece in all the house, you know, because they're very poor. But, you know, they lived off that stove. That stove was, that's what heated the house. That's what fed the people. That's what, you know, it was essential to the whole, the living there. And so the mention of that stove in that poem really, you know, it's a very important piece. And Phil, your thoughts?
There's that hesitation again. I love it. I think this is a wonderful write by Dan. Great picture painted in here. You know, you can see it all unfold in front of your eyes. No details seem to be forgotten here. I'm sure there were some, but we would never know. I thought it created a magical recreation of the events, and I thought it was very well done. Nice work, Dan. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, indeed. Amazing. And Laura, you read that so wonderfully. What are your thoughts?
I appreciate the return to a simpler time when we didn't have to go to the store to buy stuffing. Instead, took stale bread. Nowadays, it's from the stale bread to the birds. We should put it in inside the turkey. I bet you all kinds of things you can put into a turkey. That, the stove, I mean, life was harder then in many ways, but still it was simpler in other ways. Certain tropes were always part of the day. The Christmas cake, the sugar cookies, the turkey, the stuffing, a return to another time that I really appreciated. Well written, evocative, nice work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, simpler times, and you know, I think we a hard time, a hard life, because you know, my great grandparents, they didn't have electricity or running water at their house on PEI, but you know, we went to bed, we by candlelight, the hot water bottles at our feet, and you know, we had the bed chambers, the pots, the pot chambers. And the winter time, well, and you know, the big tub where all the kids would get in and have their bath in the middle of the kitchen. But you know, it was just a magical time anyway. Well, for the kids, I don't know for the parents, but for the kids anyway. But just a wonderful time. And I'll put up our next piece, which is by Vicky Moore. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read, my dear.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. Christmas in Paradise by Vicky Moore. Golden firelight streams out the window, making the snow dazzle like diamonds. The trees are heavy with snow, sounding like gunfire when limbs break. unable to carry the weight any longer. Deep drifts of while a white cover the ground and untouched blanket of white inside, we gather in the kitchen, eating grandma's chicken soup, filled with big slices of carrots and celery, a hearty meal for a cold night. After dinner, we play charades and card games, chutes and ladders for the little ones. The phones are not working. The electricity is gone, but the warmth of the fire and the old wood stove turn the loss into a night of wonder. Tomorrow, we will make snowmen and snow angels. We will gather wood and bring it inside to thaw enough that it will burn. The kitchen will smell like heaven as Grandma bakes fresh bread. We have no gifts, we have no tree, yet this is my best Christmas ever, snowed in with my family. End poem.
Yeah, she goes, this is, again, you know, a lot like, you know, Daniel Dram's poem, going to the simplicity of just, you know, that the happiness you can have with your family, just the love that's there. And, you know, kids are so spoiled nowadays. They have so many presents. Oh, my gracious. I think that's the only thing they wait for at Christmas time is the gifts. I see it, you know, with my grandchildren. My gracious. But, you know, this brings us back again to those Christmas that, you know, we of our childhood. And Laura, your thoughts on Vicky Moore's poem?
It's nice to read everybody's remembrances of Christmases of years past. You know, you get a look at the similarities, you get a look at the differences. I like the fresh bread. There is nothing like the smell of fresh bread in the oven when you're hungry. I mean, to me, it's cake. In fact, the last bit of the poem, kitchen will smell like heaven as grandma bakes fresh bread. We have no gifts. We have no tree. Yet this is my best Christmas ever, snowed in with my family. That is very touching and satisfying in a heartfelt way to me, that just being with family is enough. Makes it the best. That's nice. That's the spirit of Christmas. Nice poem.
Oh, yeah, indeed. You said it all there, spirit of Christmas. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that you did a wonderful job here. Beautifully written piece, you know, expressing winter days full of fun and wonder. Wonderful imagery all the way through, enveloping us in the memories. You know, I thought you did a great job. Great job. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Bravo. Yeah, great job, Vicky Moore, for sure. And Pam, you read that wonderfully. What are your thoughts?
Oh, this had wonderful imagery, and it was a beautiful heartfelt, right, on the thought that the most important thing is, you know, not the fancy food and not the fancy decorations and a bunch of gifts, but the idea of spending time with family over that good homemade, you know, soup or whatever the food is that is being offered up. And I thought with ending it with the best Christmas ever, snowed in with my family, was really a great ending line. So beautifully written and very well done.
My mom makes the best homemade bread, oh my gracious, and her soup is like the best, but it's like beef barley soup there, or she makes chicken barley soup, or whichever she makes is just, you know, that me and the kids and the grandchildren, you know, my mom's soup, we just have to have it. She makes it ahead of time. She puts it in big bottles, and that's our Christmas present for everybody, you know. Everybody brings home these bottles of her Christmas soup every Christmas. So
nice.
That's like a family tradition. Yeah, I got the recipe. I finally can make it almost like her, but you know, it's, you know, so nice when you don't have to make it though. But the made me think of that. And I have our next poem up. And Phil, if you want to go and give this a read, it's by Jay Frederick, and I don't know that poet. That must be she's known, but I haven't seen her before, or him or her.
Well, this is called Santa in Her Dream by Jay Frederick. She lies there in her bed. Yesterday was duller, but tonight is Christmas Eve, and her dreams are technicolor. 1,000 imaginings, Santa dressed in red, and all the elves of Santa Land dancing through her head. A toy soldier marching, a gingerbread man with glee, candy kisses wrapped in love, as sweet can be. And Santa stashing presents underneath the Christmas tree. A tiny smile lights up her face, and she sleeps on, as she sleeps on dreamily.
Isn't that beautiful? You know, just enchanting. You know, the dream, I know to what prompt she wrote this to the little girl, you know, dreaming with all the toys running around her bed. That was a wonderful art piece. This is just amazing. You know, 1,000 imaginings, Santa dressed in red and all the elves of Santa Land dancing through her head. Just beautiful flow and rhythm in this piece. And Pam, what did you think?
Yes, this definitely has wonderful rhyme and flow. It is what I would call a delightful write. And I like how it's on the idea of the hopeful dreams of a child, you know, that night before Christmas. I really like a toy soldier marching, a gingerbread man with glee, candy kisses wrapped in love, as sweet can be. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Yeah, I love those lines too. And Laura, your thoughts?
There's something enormously satisfying about reading a perfectly rhymed poem. It's like a little machine that's been built in miniature that works beautifully. And you look at it, you wonder how that little machine can run so well. After all, it's just a toy. But I admire. Like, as Pam said, and I think you said as well, the rhyme and the flow in this are superb. The sentiment is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, you know, like Pam said, just a delightful piece, you know. It takes us to the merry fairyland, the magical land, the dreamland of a little girl here. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was just sweet and enchanting, right? Great imagery, and the rhyme was so well done. I thought it was a fabulous take on the prompt and excellent work. So nice job, Jay Frederick. There's James Skiva down here, so I have to assume it's James. But very well written.
Indeed, so well written. And thank you so much for sharing it. And the next write I have is by Chris, Random Scribbler. And I guess I'll go ahead and give this one a read. Christmas it is. Oh boy, Santa swiftly makes his way to his loving fans. Old boy, I went old boy. Old boy Santa swiftly makes his way to his loving fans. In his duffel bag, he is carrying treats that will make everyone jump and dance. Mama and kiddo happily lug the tree to decorate it so that it will shimmer in snowy evening's gloom. By the firelight surrounding grandma, naughty young'uns listen to magic tales and make up their own. Joyous lass waits at the station with a lantern to show the way to Papa, who is finally coming home. Beaming lad sits on the stairs with puppy Teddy and sock full of goodies, patiently waiting for grandpa to bring some more candies.
kissing under the mistletoe, whispering sweet nothings to the one adored, feeling blissful in the arms of the loved and the beloved, making merry with plum cakes and gingerbread cookies, sparkling cherries and roast turkeys, standing by the luminous tree, singing the soulful carols, Christmas is this, and so much more, celebrating with family, giving and getting, making memories to be cherished and treasured, wishing hopefully that the Yuletide spirits bring along glad tidings, end poem. Sorry. And, you know, I just love...
Nice read.
Thank you. And I just love how Random Scribbler chose so many prompts. She just put in so many prompts into this poem. You know, I can see them in this, you know, she used more than one prompt. Oh, my gracious, yes. She put the list of the prompts, the mix of the prompts at the end. Oh, my gracious, she used so many. And, she just so skillfully weaved them all together into one great write. So just amazing, Random Scribbler. And, Laurent, what did you think of this write?
I enjoyed it. I really did. Last night, a number of poems used couplets, as this one uses couplets, and I do like it because it really isolates the thought in each image very, very nicely. And again, we are graced with a number of images, familiar images of the season, well written. I love poems like this because they're all happy. They give us the joy of the season in words. Can't fault them at all. Well done.
Well done indeed. And I'll put up our next write. Okay. And Pam, if you can go ahead and give that a read by Betty Page.
All right. Christmas Snow by Betty Page. Let's play in the snow over the bridge. We will go to grandmother's house. See who'll see get there first. Snowball fight along the way. Sledding down steep hills. Ride onto the lake. We can skate some figure eight. Neath colorful skies. Stroll Candy Cane Lane, dreaming of the toys we'll get. Lionel train set. Watch it as it goes. Look at all the Christmas lights. Fine decorations. Let's race to the bridge. Grandma's baking homemade pies. Christmas cookies, cakes. All our favorites. Every candy we desire, just like Candyland. Gingerbread houses will decorate with icing, create Christmas snow. She'll read us stories of Christmases long ago when she was little. Tales her mother told, all of her sweet fairy tales through generations. Winter wonderlands with castles made all of ice, mystical magic, sparkling waterfalls, wizards, dragons, unicorns, princes, princesses. On new adventures, we'll visit secret gardens where ice fairies live. We'll explore new worlds, go running through black forest like wild animals. Maybe just for fun, we'll catch snowflakes on our tongues, eating fresh new snow. Pull down from pine trees, lick tiny icicle pops on our way back home. We'll build a snowman, but Grandpa's hat top his head, dance merrily round, sing Christmas carols, gathered round with family, decorate our tree, play board games in house, kiss beneath the mistletoe when no one's looking, staying up all night, waiting to hear Santa come, place presents round tree, fill up our stockings with jelly beans, some trinkets, open Christmas Day, end poem.
Ah, this is so beautiful. You know, the winter wonderland with castles made of all of ice, mystical magic. We used to have, when I was young, winter carnival at our school, and we used to build these sculpt, I should say, these ice monuments, these ice sculptures for the carnival out all through the schoolyard, and made me think of that. And fill up our stockings with jelly beans, some trinkets, open Christmas Day. I don't know if about you guys, but that's a tradition that we don't have anymore in our family. We don't hang up any Christmas stockings. I don't know about you guys, but here, no, stockings have just taken the, I don't know. We don't do that anymore. Maybe it's because nobody has any. I have a fireplace, but I mean, it's an electric one. But yeah, we've kind of, maybe because the houses now, they don't have any more fireplaces, that they, Christmas stockings, we use them less, but like to hear you guys on that, you know, if you still have Christmas stockings or not at your place. Laura, you go first. What did you think of Betty Page?
Oh, on Betty Page? Build a snowman, put Grandpa's hat top his head, dance merrily around, sing Christmas carols, gathered round with family, decorate our tree. All the little things that a family does together are laid out, especially like we catch snowflakes on our tongue, eating fresh new snow. All my kids did that. They used to drive me wild because they weren't always careful about the snow that they were eating. great piece.
some not so yellow snow there, not so white snow.
No, don't go to the yellow snow. Nanuka, no.
Play board games. That's something that we do a lot in our family with the kids. Usually we go down to this year we're renting a cottage down in the Gaspé, and it has a pool table in it, and so we'll probably be playing pool a lot. But usually we do karaoke a lot, and we are big poker game players. We play poker. We bet bits of candy and stuff like that, but we're big poker players, and so that's a lot of fun. And just an amazing comment there, Laura. And Phil, your thoughts?
I thought it was a wonderful sharing of Christmas past, full of fabulous imagery and details throughout the piece. Magical recounting of childhood memories. So great job, Betty, and thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, indeed. You know, she always has these amazing, magical rites. They're so enchanting. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is wonderful imagery. I thought it was a beautiful and tender rite on the many blessings of the holidays and how they don't need to be big and fancy, but just the idea of spending time together with favorite games and even the idea of favorite stories passed from generation to generation. So excellent rite and very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Thank you so much, Betty Page, you know, for encouraging us every contest, my gracious, you know, for writing for us. Thank you so much. So appreciate it. And have the next link up. And I just want to say, I want to send my best wishes to Swan Song Jeff, because he's going to be spending the holidays in the hospital. He's very sick. So the only Yeah, the only reason I know it's because we were working on a poem together, a collaboration for a contest. And, yeah, and I just got news that he's very sick in the hospital. So just want to send my you know, just in case he's listening, just want to send our best wishes there for him to get better real quick. So I have our next poem up. And Laurent, if you want to give that a read for us, please.
Sure. Yeah. All right. This is called Chris Kind, Letter to the, well, Chris Kind, Letter to the ER by MSY Below the Dawn. All right. Chris Kind, Letter to the ER. Christmas fairy on angel's wing, bless the light of every infant being, holds a store the sun may rise. After you have given the children their doorway price, feeling hope may ever come, as the chimney was set and thunder roaring, Santa's gone to another state, as you bless children in their bed. Fill the cookies of his sleigh, O wonderful fairy from the southern gate, preach the message all around, as the Christ kind makes its heart to sound. What you tell the children is all so dear, in the wing of every beautiful fear, high above the stratos ground, you waltz and dust the magic, you fairy abound, give it. Laughter and fall to cheer, so that the people know that Christmas is near. Hold the light you wand around, birds may sing as the sun goes down, so that every child may get the gifts they naughty tossed around. Hold the tear at every fee, so that the people lessen not the children in me. Spoke a word to Christmas kind, so that you fairy dust the sun to moon align, as they wake from their resting sleep. Beauty up the light as it hits their place, to be of joyful, full of cheer and tear, because Santa Carnell and Christ kind stayed here. Of the mind we summon and bind, that the message of hope is in and ever find. Bless the children in their zeal, be thankful for every appeal, that in time they may grow up good, that none become of the naughty in the heart or unnoticeable mood. Let this message ever cheer. Christmas kind is rising from the mangers near. Point them to their directions. Come, so that may feel the blessings. Them. Reach your designation before they're gone. Run up to the rotation of the moon and sun. Hold the caption. Then the sea, if you see the little angel Lee, give her a fairy just a kiss, so that at the ending they may laugh before thee, O ye who walk before the Christmas tree. End poem.
Are you on mute, Naomi? Oh, yes. Laura, could you read the AM?
Sure. This poem is a sequel to my poem and story of Little Angel Lee, found under Ending With Me, hashtag Lee the Little Angel, which speaks of all the lonely children who have passed around Christmas time, come into contact with the Christmas kind. As fulfilling their duty, they may rest in peace, that they may watch over the children of parents in the purity of their hearts and minds. Of the trees.
Oh, this is a, you know, thank you so much, Laurent. Wonderful read there. And yeah, you know, just a lovely poem of love and, you know, hope. And, you know, with that AN, we understand so much more, I think, you know, of these little fairies, you know, these passed on children that, you know, died around Christmas time that are there watching over us and, you know, just a lovely, very heartfelt right here by M. Sly Olo, the nun, the Dun. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a great tale told with great imagery and very well written. And thanks for sharing with us, M. Sly.
Thank you for sharing so much. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, the wonderful story, right? Intriguing imagery. I like how it was seemed to be about a little fairy who passes along the Christmas message of love and hope. So excellent, right, and very well done.
I am well done indeed. Thank you so much. So much for writing for us. And, okay. And, oh, yeah, Laurent, your thoughts?
At this point, I don't have many thoughts. this poem, it was full of imagery. It seemed to dance from line to line. Some lines connected to others. Others standing alone, but all the way through it, you get the message of the time of the season and the love, as you said. A very interesting piece, definitely a different write, something I'd like to chew over for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Very layered piece. I agree. And so amazing, right? So I'm going to put up our next right. And this is by Pee-wee. And Pee-wee. So who read? Phil, can you give this a read, please?
I'm sorry, I cannot.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give this a read. Going home, poor orphaned waif, but only hope left in this world, grips the light in her pocket so tightly does this girl. Clothes falling off in tatters, no family to be found. Her only friends days ago was taken to the pound. Dark years and day's darkness is all she's known. Too much strife to be given to one, not even grown. Out from that pocket she pulls a light shining bright, this light being all. She has given up the fight. Kneeling in snow she prays, remembering the love. Her light shining wish is granted by heaven above. Hand of God in mercy sent carries her to her home, a life spent longing. She's never again to be alone. And I think this was written to the prompt of the little match girl. And, you know, he put a wonderful twist on it, you know, with her only friend days ago was taken to the pound. And, you know, a very dark write, but very beautifully written here by Pee-wee. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's kind of like a bit of a different version of the little matchstick girl. Like instead of the matches, it's like a light. And instead of, you know, like in the little matchstick girl, there wasn't a puppy mentioned. So, you know, it's kind of like that story, only with little tidbits changed up. So just nicely done right and wonderful imagery. Are you on mute again, Naomi?
Oh, I am. And Laura, if you have any thoughts left, Laura.
Do I have any thoughts left? I don't know. I'm hanging on. Let me see now. Where are we? Are we talking about Pee-wee's poem?
Yeah, Pee-wee's poem, yeah.
Yeah, I like the poor orphan waif, but only hope left in this world, grips the light in her pocket. How tightly does this girl? It's an interesting story. It's a short piece, but it has a lot to say. She prays, remembering the love, her light shining wish granted by heaven above. And it's really the ending of the next one. Hand of God and mercy sent carries her to her home. A life spent longing is never again to be alone. It's heartwarming. It's hopeful. It's a happy ending. All these should have happy endings. Nicely done.
Indeed. Amazing, amazing comment there, Laurent. And I have your poem up, Laurent. So if you want to go ahead and give it a read for us.
All right. Now, a poem is not all sweetness of life, but I'm sure it's not going to be offensive to anybody. This is called Gloomy Gus. Young faces pressed against the glass. 'Tis the wonder of their years, drawn to toys both great and small, preferences noted by parents' ears. Christmas morn draws well nigh, the excitement too intense. Children squirm in anticipation, parents shiver at the expense. But hang it all, it's Christmas, well worth the money spent. We'll mirthfully celebrate Noel. Drink mellow liquids which ferment. Who among us will disappoint the cherubs of our to undergo the scorn of peers, imagine comments which deride? Remember when you were little, the beating of your fondest hope, western outfit of your dreams, six-gun hat and lasso rope. Plenty of time to pay what's due. New Year looms soon upon us. Worry later about the bills. Or as Stefan, Gloomy Gus. End poem.
I really like this. You know, this is a thought-provoking piece. I just love the rhythm and the rhyme throughout it. Wonderful imagery. But, you know, it's also the thought that it brings. You know, that, yeah, we do spoil these little brats Christmas time.
Yeah.
I mean, our parents were, you know, a lot more, I don't know, responsible maybe. You know, they didn't have the money at the time, or maybe people had less credit. If they didn't have the money at the time, I know after some Christmases, I didn't get very much at all, you know. If we got one toy each, you know, that was about it. But, you know, today families, they just spoil their kids and, you know, the debt runs up. And, you know, when January comes around and that credit card bill comes in, my gracious, you know, yeah, I can't imagine, but, you know, I now that I do have new, you know, grandchildren, you know, and I'm up to four now. I can imagine, you know, some of them, you know, well, my kids have good jobs, but they, you know, some of these families, they must not feel so great when January rolls around and they see those bills. My gracious, I don't know how they do it, but the cost of living today. And you know, you mentioned the gun, the hat, the lasso, rope. Yeah, the Western outfit, when we played cowboy and Indians. I remember that. I just love this ride all the way through. So wonderfully written, Laurent. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful ride. It has great imagery, wonderful rhyme. I like that you take us back to the idea of remembering when Christmas was simpler times and when we did have to deal with the disappointment of being told no. Remember when you were little, the beating of your fondest hope, Western outfit of your dreams, six-gun hat and lasso rope. And I also like that you use the phrase Gloomy Gus as the title and put it in the poem. I thought that was really cool. Another lines I really like is, Christmas morn draws well nigh, the excitement too intense. Children squirm in anticipation. Parents shiver at the expense. It's funny how you show the different reaction between the children who are all excited and give no thought to the money, and then the poor parents who have to think about the expenses. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much. Money, I mean, the offering.
My gracious. Oh, this mute button. I never had one before. That's why. Sorry. Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I think you did a great job with this. I think that you really touched on some of the harsher realities of Christmas. Trying to keep up with everybody, their friends and all that. There's so much truth to that. But I kind of like the intro stanza on the young faces pressed against the glass, 'cause the wonder of the years. Drawn to toys, both great and small, preferences noted by parents' ears. It kind of like the way it works, and you kind of have to listen and see what they really want. You know, the list is one thing. The reality is what they're really looking for. Sometimes it's something different. I think that it was very well run and well expressed all the way through. So, nice work.
Thank you very much.
Awesome, right, Laurent? Thank you so, so much for dropping that on the board. It's so appreciated. And I'm going to put the next write up, which is by Lila, and she's been on the board for a while now. So, Little Match Girl Celebrating. Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
I would be happy to. All right. The Little Match Girl Celebrating Christmas by Lila. Prickly eye, gray doll cornea behind the desert rose. The sky is the Himalayan poppy. Women at work with piles of chilies, drying in the sun in a village near Kalaw. And the ibis beak seeks the riverbank. Oh, silk-tailed birds singing in a new land, and they smell like roses. I believe, Lord, I believe there's a new land, and then I can get off. Have you here, Buon Rotti? We could already greet the heavenly newborn king with this holy night until Christmas. Oh, cobweb veil, poisoned and woven, or is it a secret? What's the black drinking mob? Oh, cursed fire in the furnace and cursed the villain. And all we who lament are villains, and we cry wisdom's last. Oh, mad fog, senseless that you hover above the earth and are at home there. Oh, sick fog, some crazy revelers are celebrating tonight. What part does a girl with matches play in their joy? On the barricade of Golgotha, somewhere blood flows and a flame burns, a roaring color. The blood was shed behind the dogwood tree, and you're wise, Lord. I don't understand the meaning of my hopeless suffering and eternal darkness, but do you understand? I'm a worm and you're a god. Invoke the bride, invoke eternal wisdom, and I give you virginity. Call for poinsettias, call for candy canes, slow down, call for the bells. Oh, beautiful, my sweet dolls, we're all toys in the bazaar of civilization. Musicians, ladies, revelers, lights on trees, lights in and out on our homes, candles on our tables. Billions of people will sing the Purple David's hymn, and these are painful forebodings, our musical, now born in the evening. And these gray societies drunk, and the woman of the procession and the sad organ, all will sing the melody of the harmony of the matter. And today we say, good Christian people, God is with you wherever you wander. Don Olch Weche Ul Idmer the Hill. O Satan, where you snatch me from the doors of hell. He's bound in hell. Then Jesus, he come riding by. Now my Jesu, being so good and kind, once in Royal David's city, the noble lad setting in the kingdom that night in Bethlehem, and these gray societies drunk, and the little match girl, and the sad organ, all will sing the melody of the harmony of the matter. And today we say, Jehovah, they'll come by and by, and poem.
I'm on mute again. I had to look at Lila. She's actually from Serbia. And, you know, I guess that some of this language is Serbian. And some of these beliefs too. Although she does, you know, recite the little match girl, the little girl with the sulfur sticks, and she says the tale, which is from Hans Christian Andersen, and she does recite the tale, which is a very, very sad one in the AN. And, you know, this is an outcry to the sad reality today. I'd like to have your insight on it, Laurent, this right.
I'm in the middle of reading it for the second time. Oh. There's a lot here to digest. It's a fascinating piece. It goes in so many different directions. I'm looking for a resolution that I really like on the barricade of Golgotha, somewhere blood flows and a flame burn, a roaring color. The blood was shed behind the dogwood tree, and you're wise, Lord. I don't understand the meaning of my hopeless suffering in eternal darkness, but do you understand? I'm a worm, and you're God. Invoke the bride, invoke eternal wisdom, and I give you virginity. This is really quite good.
Awesome comment there, Laurent. And Pam, you read that so wonderfully. It was quite a long piece. Yes.
I feel like there was probably some parts I really butchered. It was definitely a test of the tongue. To switch from dialect to dialect. But this has brilliant imagery and metaphors. I always enjoy and appreciate how thought-provoking Lila's rites are. And I like how she brings in the mention of the matchstick girl. And, you know, to me, the general thought that I get from this is, you know, that people are oftentimes too focused on the traditional religion of the holidays rather than helping those in need, because, you know, the little matchstick girl, of course, being the representation of those who are poor and in need and who are dying and ignored by people who are too busy with the holidays. I like that stanza that Lauren pointed out. It did have some particularly strong imagery. And, you know, I like how it went to what seems to be a shift to the Christian traditions and stories like the Golgotha to, you know, the idea of you almost like the idea of a Southern Christian with the use of the dialect. And, you know, I think this is the whole idea of people so worried about saving their souls through the right song and dance rather than being concerned about the type of people they are on earth and to their fellow human beings. I also really like the beginning stanza with the imagery of prickly eye, gray doll cornea, behind the desert rose, the sky is the Himalayan poppy. Just a wonderful imagery, beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, I agree. You know, I'm just discovering her lately, Lila, and, you know, she just amazes me with every write. And, I like her comment that she left on the group board where she's talking to you, Pam. She says, poems about Christmas are dedicated to the triumph of mercy and love, but there are unhappy stories, and it is necessary that behind the door of every satisfied, happy person, there is someone with a hammer and constantly knocking, reminding them that there are unhappy people and that no matter how happy they are, life will show its claws sooner or later. So, yeah, I think, you know, she really, that was the essence of her poem, and it really came out there powerful, a very powerful poem and a very thought-provoking poem. And, Phil, your thoughts?
I think Phil said she would be right back.
Oh, okay. So I'll just go ahead. I hope I put, I did I? Yeah. Okay. So I put up the next poem, which is a SoundCloud, and it's by Titus. So do you have control over the SoundCloud, Pam?
Ode to Christmas time. Gifts are dignitary to our fatherland. Peace offerings from nature. As our gifts given empyrean joy, are we goddamned to witness short-lived saintly charms it frists, the auld lang syne to mean an age-old leap, the laity it chortles as to both peace and mind, given this obligation to show their children this, how not to loathe, a gift indeed a future they must keep, give and then partake all admiration. Let heaven on earth rejoice in the past, to let a stranger in the gift of time, how happy once upon a time didst cast, the spell that all be well a splendid chime, will advent in the days preceding this, is what you have done it would seem was tried and tested in the true Christmas spirit, heaven on earth would sing I could have cried. To call it Christmas time in essence bliss, the fragrance of mirth love will inherit.
Oh, wow. I just love that, you know, the way he uses the English. You know, he made this right into this, like, really an ode to Christmas time. And he chose that prompt, let heaven and nature sing. And I sort of knew if Titus would have participated in the contest, he would have went for that one. You know, I think it fits really well with his writing. And, you know, he did it so much justice. Will Advent in the days preceding this is what you have done it would seem was tried and tested in the true Christmas spirit. Heaven on earth would sing. I could have cried to call it Christmas time. In essence, bliss, the fragrance of mirth, love will inherit. And he puts in a note there, our Advent days preceding this, children should be taught the lesson that Christmas is for the good, the worth of a gift or gifts. It may be a bribe, but better than being spoiled to earn those gifts. And so true. And lovely read and SoundCloud. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud, Titus. So appreciate it. And Laurent, your thoughts on Titus's poem?
Well, it's a beautiful piece, professional, carefully carved from the lexicon of the English language, metaphors and descriptions to admire. And the sentiment that I really like, let heaven on earth rejoice in the past, but let a stranger in, the gift of time. How happy, once upon a time, didst cast the spell that all be well. A splendid chime. God, he's a good writer. And this is a great Christmas poem. Very classic. Written at a level in terms of the English language that few people attempt anymore.
Indeed, I agree. You know, I could never, you know, I could attempt, but I could never reach his level. Beautiful right by Titus here. Like you said, so classical and so rich and so well written. Awesome comment there, Laurent. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this has beautiful imagery throughout. It really does have a classic feel to it, and it's a wonderful tribute to the spirit of Christmas, you know, and what it truly means. I really like, and test in the true Christmas spirit, heaven on earth, it's saying I could have cried, call it Christmas time, in essence, bliss, the fragrance of mirth, love will inherit. You know, such lines of joy and happiness and the embracing of the hope of Christmas. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, indeed. And is Jean back? Are you there, Phil?
I am. I came in for the read of Titus's piece. You know, I have to say, I think it's lovely work by Titus, wonderful expression of season. Just fabulous. Really enjoyed it, and I was drawn to the second stanza. Wanted to start out with "Let heaven and earth rejoice in the past." Just a wonderful piece, and much appreciated, Titus. Thank you for sharing with us.
Oh, indeed. Thank you so much, Titus, for sharing this. Right, great addition for tonight. But very classical. Beautifully written poem all through. Amazing. And, I have our next write-up. And Phil, are you up for a write, for a read?
Yeah. Sure, I got to earn my keep somehow. Passion melts winter snow by Poetic Creation. Passion is feisty like a fox. There's snow on the ground, but she's hot. He went off to war and was long thought lost. Gone now in lonely days. For him to return day and night, she prayed. Anxious and afraid, in bed alone she did lay. But now he has returned. A lover's embrace they both have earned. Heartbreak learned and absence lost earned. Regret and much sorrow. Sorrow vanquished the chance for tomorrow. Passion in a dynamo. Just waiting to explode. And home.
He had a great vocabulary in this. Passion feisty like a fox. There's snow on the ground, but she's hot. He went off to war and was long thought lost. He went off to war and was long thought lost. and gone now are lonely days. For him to return day and night she prayed, anxious and afraid, and in a bed alone she did lay. So I'm guessing he took the, no, he didn't. I thought he took the prompt of the train, but he didn't. No. I guess he took the prompt of the couple there. And Laura, your thoughts on Poetic Creations, right?
It's a great poem, but it's an even better title. Passion melts winter's snow. You know it does. Its heat will melt anything. Two bodies fall right through the ice. Should the attempt be made because of the passion and the heat? I was going to quote what you already quoted. I won't bother to redo it, but I love passion. It's a dynamo just waiting to explode.
Mm-hmm. Awesome lines there quoted, Laurent. Awesome. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write. I like that he looked at that picture and he saw a story. He saw the heat and the passion and the romance that was in there, but he also saw a story of a man who has gone off to war and a lonely woman and his return. But now he has returned a lover's embrace they both have earned, heartbreak learned and absence loss spurned. You know, wonderful story, right? Beautifully written and very well done.
Indeed. And Phil, your thoughts?
Yes, I thought it was a great take on the chosen prompt. Well done. I thought he did a nice job creating the story around that image. If I had first looked at that image, I might not have come up with the story for sure. But in reading his poem, I can absolutely see it in the prompt. So it's amazing in that respect. But anyway, I took the stanza here, but now he has returned. A lover's embrace, they both have earned. Heartbreak learned and absence lost spurned. I enjoyed the piece. So nice work, Lisa. Thanks for sharing.
Great work for sure, Poetic Creations. And thank you so, so much for writing. So appreciate it. And Laurent, if you can read the next poem that I put up by Dion Pizzuto.
Well, I love that name, Dion Pizzuto. Be thankful for what you've got. It's the season to be jolly. Be thankful for what you've got. Share your heartfelt Christmas cheer with those that don't have a lot. Try to focus on all things positive. Remember, we all have our cross to bear. It's not a contest of who's most unfortunate. Simply show someone that you care. No need for budget-breaking presents. Live within your means. Give what you can. The idea is not to buy affection, but to share with your fellow man. Make this Christmas something special. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Show the best qualities of humanity. Let everyone see the good that you can do. Fill your heart with the Christmas spirit. Be thankful for what you've got. End poem.
Oh, amazing, right? Amazing read there, all the way through, Laurent. And you know what an awesome, you know, thought-provoking, right? You know, powerful message carried through. You know, just to be thankful for what you got. Appreciate, you know, all those loving moments. And, you know, no need for budget-breaking presents. Live within your means. Give what you can. The idea is not to buy affection, but to share with your fellow man. I think that's such an important message, you know, that we often forget. But, you know, it's so true, you know. I was saying earlier, the kids are so spoiled these days, but, you know, It's, I guess it's, you know, sometimes it's who's going to buy the best and the biggest present. You know, especially I see that when, you know, my daughter is single. And so she has one of my granddaughters, you know, she's at her father half the time and half the time she's with her mother. And, you know, there's like a competition between the two of them, you know, which is really sad, you know, who's going to give the my granddaughter the greatest presents, you know. I see that. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, sad. But with these broken up families, I think, you know, they mustn't be the only ones this go this battling the Christmas presents goes on. But you know, so very amazing poem here. I love the rhythm and the flow throughout the whole write. And Pam, your thoughts?
This is a beautiful and thoughtful write on the idea that we should appreciate the blessings we do have. And that, you know, we need to really embrace and be thankful for those simple pleasures of life, especially during the holidays. And I too like the mention of the no need for budget-breaking presents and make this Christmas something special. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Show the best qualities of humanity. I think that's a really strong line. Show the best qualities of humanity. Beautifully written and very well done.
Indeed. And Laura, you read that so wonderfully. Your thoughts?
I like poems like this that take aphorisms, the catchphrase, wisdom that has stood the test of time, so to speak. And uses them in an intelligent way to create something that's quite nice. And this is, you know, you can't go wrong following any of the advice. Except I don't know about living within your means. Because if all Americans lived within their means, the economy of this country would go belly up.
That's what the banks say anyway. But, yeah, it's kind of true. So, yeah, with this price of life, the it's at nowadays, my gracious, just doing the groceries is awful. I don't know. Here in Canada, it's just flew right up, all the prices of everything. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was an excellent write. It's truly what Christmas is about, and I think you nailed that. I enjoyed the piece very much. I have to say, the two stanzas that grabbed me right from the beginning were, try to focus on all things positive. Remember, we all have our cross to bear. It's not a contest for who's most unfortunate. Simply show someone that you care. No need for budget-breaking presents. Live within your means. Give what you can. The idea is not to buy affection, but to share with your fellow man. I thought it was very well done. So great job, Jan.
Amazing, right, indeed. And it's time to lighten things up. So, Pam, that's a little time for Damn It, Dave. So, Pam, will you give this a read?
I would be happy to. All right, When Frosty Comes to Town by Damn It, Dave. When Frosty comes to town this year, he brings along his Christmas cheer and spreads it everywhere he's at through magic hidden his hat. The birds and beasts all gather round and marvel at the glee they've found, for every woodland creature knows that he spreads joy each place he goes. And Frosty travels far and wide to share the warmth feels inside about his love for Christmas Day, a joy that never goes away. Oh, how the children laugh and cheer when Frosty and his friends draw near. With happy birthday and a smile, he spreads his joy with flair and style. And when the Christmas season's through, he tips his hat and bids adieu. He leaves his friends some Christmas cheer and vows he will return next year. And poems.
I just love this. This is just an enchanting poem. You know, just so delightfully written, the rhythm and the flow of it all through. You know, how the children laugh and cheer when Frosty and his friends draw near. With happy birthday and a smile, he spreads his joy with flair and style. And in the last stanza, I think one of my favorites, you know, when he tips his hat, bids adieu, and he leaves his friend some Christmas cheer and vows he will return next year. Just an amazing piece all through that captured the wonderful story of Frosty there, right, you know, in a poem. So well done, damn it, Dave. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, I can't criticize anything that Damn It Dave writes, because it's so smooth. It flows so well. He's taken a character that we all know, and he's extended that character's life, given us something new in that character's world. And I'm so glad, because Frosty's an old-style character. He's been around a long time, and he's still fairly modern. And I just think that he takes the legend of Frosty and adds to it beautifully. I can see this being read every year to children, young children. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's so true. He's been around forever. You know, forever when I remember anyway. Yeah, we always used to sing, you know, the carol, Frosty the Snowman, when our Christmas concert at school. And, you know, dress up sometimes as Frosty the Snowman. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was excellent. You know, Dave has such a wonderful way of rhyming, but each stanza was really well done. I loved when Frosty comes to town this year, he brings along his Christmas cheer and spreads it everywhere he's at, through magic hidden in his hat. The birds and beasts all gather round and marvel at the glee they've found, for every woodland creature knows that he spreads joy each place he goes. Just a great, great piece, and I really enjoyed it very much. So thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much, Damn It Dave, for, you know, for sharing. He's on the board. So, hi. Thank you so much. It was just a joy to hear that poem. And beautiful, beautiful, awesome write. And I have our next poem up. And, you know, this is a little delicate, this poem. Freya was saying to me that Christmas is a, well, she had a hard time finding joy. What was her words? You know, she was a hard time for her this Christmas. Intellect and chipped emotions thin as tombstone paint. I stand at the gate, intellect thin as paint, and chipped emotions. I write wishes on a brown onion, bury it beside the smallest tombstone I can find, stillborn baby girl, side reel between the second and third constellations near Athena, where the sacred solstice sun touches the fertility of our still green, writhing earth. I ask the angel if I can adopt her, sing to her, enroll her in a good school. I wrap her tiny casket in Bible verses written long hand, long ago, on onion skin paper. I see the buck in sunbeams near the pond. I know she is restored. End poem. This is just, you know, so sad. Can you comment, Pam, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is beautifully written, and it is, there is a sadness to it in a raw honesty. She has amazing imagery and metaphors, and, you know, there is, you know, it's a strong reminder that the holidays aren't a happy time for everyone, and especially for those who deal with the loss of a child or even struggle to get pregnant and to have a child and deal with infertility. It's an emotive rite all the way through, but especially I ask the angels if I can adopt her, sing to her, enroll her in a good school. I wrap her tiny casket in Bible verses written longhand long ago. Just a powerful emotive line, beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, it is. You know, it really touched me. Thank you so much, Freya, for sharing this awesome rite. And Laura, your thoughts?
The emotion in this piece hits hard. It's almost difficult to read, difficult to think about. You put yourself in that person's shoes, and how can you be happy? I mean, the sorrow just drowns out any possibility of joy, even if it's not a recent memory, even if it happened some time ago. The season, as Pam says, I'll paraphrase her, always brings around, for some people, great sorrow instead of great joy. That's really well communicated in this piece. I could get very emotional about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of still am. Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I think this was a sad and well-written piece. You know, it speaks of caskets and stillborn and all this. And the loss of a child is never easy, and it's not something ever forgotten. You know, it's painful. And because if it happens during the holiday season or at any holiday, any given day of the year, it doesn't matter. It has an effect. The thing is that it puts such a weight on you at the holidays because it's this memory that keeps tapping you on the shoulder. And not easy, not easy. But I think that, as everyone else has said, you know, it was very well written and very well done. So, Freya, you know, nice work, and thanks for writing it for us all. And, yes, wonderful.
Yeah, and Freya, hats off for you, you know, for being able to get through this right, because, yeah, she said it was a very painful time of year for her, I think that's what she said. And, you know, I didn't read her right till tonight, so I didn't seize, you know, all the, you know, just how painful it really was. And this right for her, and yeah, my heart goes out to you. Amazing writing as always, Freya. And yeah, I'm behind here. I was caught up in that right, so I didn't choose our next right. Sorry. I'm gonna get it here. Okay, put it in the, I hope it's not one already read. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is not, that's not so twisted by Where Then. Okay, Laura, if you want to go and give this a read for us, please.
All right. I will do that. That's not so twisted. Where then? There's nothing like a scenic train rolling by, the romance at the station, the fluffy snow on the branches. There's you and I standing at the station, the sky, a mirror, running for our car. And every time it's strange. It's hello or it's goodbye. I'm afraid that one day we will be at a station and you'll say goodbye for the final time. And so I want you to know that I love you. After everything, the mountains we have climbed and the shit we got back hazards, you're as hot can be, and you hit every note. And I have always loved. And
This is a, you know, amazing, right? I think, you know, but they took it from the maybe two prompts, either the couple or the, he doesn't have the prompt there, but, or the train leaving is one of the prompts. You know, wonderful, you know, sincere, right, straightforward. You know, just saying to his loved one that, you know, I do love you. You know, whatever happens, you know, in this time, I'm going to tell you. And, you know, it's so important to tell those people that, you know, we love that, you know, whatever happens, you know, I love you in this moment. I love you after everything, you know, after all that went between us. All the, like he says, all the shit happened. Yeah, you're still as hot as can be, and I still love you. Pam, your thoughts?
He can't step away.
Oh, okay. Phil, your thoughts then?
How did I know it was coming to me? I thought it was a nicely romantic piece, and it was well expressed throughout. There's a great love story in the background of this, and I enjoyed that part. I don't know what the prompt was. I normally go over and like take peek, but if you have one of a train, I guess that might be the one.
Yeah.
But definitely, if that's the case, then I would say it was well penned to the prompt. And you know, thank you very much for sharing with us. There then, just nicely done. There, you should always tell people you love that you love them, because you never know when it'll be your last chance to do that, and that makes all the difference in the world. So, thank you.
And I guess Laurent had to go. So good night, Laurent, and thank you so much for you know, for being our Twisted Mister tonight. So appreciate it, and yeah. So I have gonna catch our next right here. Put it in. Okay, by Angel Blue. And Phil, do you feel like reading?
Sure. Absolutely. Just kind of that past comment. Some of the room, because that's always tricky around here. Okay. It's called Christmas by Angel Blue, 36. Spring springs with beauty. As November ends, December begins. The tune of excitement is heard. The Christmas trees and jingle bells is decked with beads and pearls. When light reflects, it shines like a star. The man and the child wonder at the beauty of snow, which is draped like a dress. The joy of Christmas jingles and incites to bring the Christmas tree and decorate. A child peers to see Santa Claus is around, waits for the gift. The cake and pies, crowns and trees, children live in a world of imagery, cherishing the scene of Santa Claus and the reindeer. Gifts flow like a fountain, rushes to his house draped with snow, looks at the top, how snow also welcomes the birth of Christ. All over it, just icy and cold. Within, full of warmth and happiness, gushes a stream when he or she sees a fulfilled dream. Merry Christmas and home.
Wow, there's so many beautiful lines in here. One wonderful read there, Phil. you know, The title of the contest was starting to look a lot like Christmas, and I think she really captured that. You know, those first few lines: springs with beauty as November and December begin. So she's right at the beginning. You know, the tune of excitement is here, is heard. The Christmas tree and jingle bells is decked with beads and pearls. You know, and when light reflects, it shines like a star. The man and the child wander at the beauty of snow, which is draped like a dress. That is just so beautiful, snow draped like a dress. But, you know, she really captures the whole spirit of the, you know, beginning, the beginning of December and, you know, all through. And, you know, how the spirit of Christmas just, you know, falls upon the world and falls upon the, all of us, I think, and swings us up into his, its beat there. Just beautifully written by Angel Blue. And and Pam, you're back? Yeah, you're back, okay?
I am back, yes. Oh, I thought this was beautiful, and I have to agree with you. It really captures the spirit of Christmas, and it also captures the excitement and the anticipation that comes with those first snowfalls. And I love the imagery, but I also like that she brings sound in here. The joy of Christmas jingles and in sight to bring the Christmas tree and decorate the child peers to see Santa is around, waits for the gifts. The cakes and pies crowns the feast. Wonderful, right, with the celebration of Christmas, and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Really captured the spirit of Christmas. Amazing comment to both of you. Phil, did you comment?
I said both of you.
You meant both my personalities.
<That's it. laughs>
I thought that this was a nicely penned piece by Angel Blue. Great imagery throughout, and very well done. Much enjoyed. So thanks for sharing with us, Angel Blue. Great job.
Great job indeed. Thank you so much. And I have our next piece up. And Pam, if you want to give that a read for us, please.
I'd be happy to. This is Let Heaven and Nature Sing by Merriam Kilmer, and it goes like this. Christmas brought birdsong, white rabbits and deer. Hail to all nature, we sang with good cheer. Tonight was the night we would welcome each stranger as carolers told of the child in the manger. The tree from our friend's farm was carried inside. We sang as we trimmed it with greens fresh and dried. St. Nicholas saw, leaning out from his sleigh, that young children sang of the babe on the hay. We sang in the choir, we sang in the street. Our carols erupted in darkness and sleet. The heavens burst open and angels drew near. Merry Christmas to you. And a happy new year. And poem.
I laugh because, you know, this brings back so many memories of our Christmas concert again. We'd always end the concert with that song, Merry Christmas to You and a Happy New Year. Every single Christmas concert, we'd open with O Canada. We had to sing O Canada. And then we'd end every Christmas concert with that song, Merry Christmas to You and a Happy New Year. So I remember that. But what beautiful imagery throughout this whole rite. Oh, wow. I just love this. You know, Christmas brought birdsong, white rabbits and deer. Hail to all nature, we sang with good cheer. This is a beautiful rite all through. You know, St. Nicholas there, you know, like old-fashioned the type of Christmas, the joyfulness of nature throughout this poem, and its spirit, how it inhabits our Christmases. And Jill, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was a wonderful write, beautifully rhymed all the way through. I grabbed up these three lines because I like the way that it pulled me in. Tonight was the night we could welcome each stranger, as carolers told of the child in the manger. The tree from our friend's farm was carried inside. We sang as we trimmed it with greens fresh and dried. St. Nicholas saw, leaning out from his sleigh, the young children sang as the babe on the hay. I really enjoyed this piece. I think she really captured the spirit of Christmas. And the how she melded St. Nicholas in with the babe on the hay, I think that was beautifully done. A lot of people see either or. They either see the child or they see St. Nicholas. They don't combine that thought in their minds. And I think that it's beautiful when people can do that. You know, no one should ever replace Jesus with Santa Claus. And in the same respect, you know, Santa Claus is not a terrible thing. So, you know, I think it was great. And great job, Miriam, and thank you very much for sharing with us. I like the poem a lot.
Those are amazing, amazing thoughts there, Phil. You know, it's so true. When you talked about Jesus and then, you know, Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, amazing observations there. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like what you both had to say. This is a beautiful write. It really does capture well the spirit of Christmas. It has a wonderful nostalgic feel. I like how it's about the joy and the hope, you know, that message of joy and hope that you can find at Christmas time. And Naomi, when you were mentioning the Christmas pageants that you'd have, I remember the one time the church I was going to, they decided they were going to let my son Jaron, he was about 3 years old, they were going to let him be the donkey, and the teacher was going to hold his hand the whole time. Only he got loose, ran over to the manger, uh-huh, grabbed his baby Jesus, who thankfully was a doll and not a really real baby, and threw baby Jesus in the audience.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. As soon as everybody got over their shock, they all just started laughing. It was fun. This was a wonderful write. Sorry, I couldn't resist sharing that.
Yeah, such a great share. Thank you so much for the laugh. I can just imagine that. So I have our next write-up. It's by H.B. Keith, and it's called The Red Train. She was waiting at the train station. At each time, she stayed for a long time. Her feet took a crimson color from cold. Her cheeks remained reddish. In her pupil, a spark stood during years. A certain arrival destined for her was expected. Candy bars, chocolate, toys, clothes, dolls, and others. As each time she slept on the bench, with bare hands and warm heart, she heard the bell and opened her blue eyes. But the train went at high speed and never stopped. An old man came and offered her a gift for the first time. She was happy and found a wrapped red box. She opened it and found a lovely doll. She couldn't hide her happiness. The old man disappeared. She waked up and went back home with bare hands. Oh, that's kind of sad. That's sad. You know, that's amazing. It's like the match girl there, kind of the matchstick girl, twisted, you know, into this tale. Reminded me of that
that story. But, you know, using the prompt of the train, which was which is really amazing, great creativity in this. And Pam, what did you think?
I have to agree. I really enjoy and appreciate how they brought out this story from that image. And the idea of a stranger, you know, who shows kindness to this young girl and blesses her life if only for a moment, you know, and it's so sad and yet at the same time a wonderful representation of the spirit of giving for Christmas. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought that it was a sad piece, a heartwarming. sorry, I got myself all messed up. I picked up these parts out of here. She heard the bell and opened her blue eyes, but the train went at high speed and never stopped. An old man came and offered her a gift for the first time. She was happy and found a wrapped red box. She opened it and found a lovely doll. She couldn't hide her happiness. The old man disappeared. Well, if that's not the spirit of Santa Claus, I don't know what really is. You know, people just don't go poof and disappear. I think that was a lovely offering within the poem itself, definitely. And, you know, it makes you so sad again once you walk home with bare hands. I have to assume that they weren't covered, but they were not empty. So just a beautifully written piece and wonderful thoughts for this season.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. No, I think this is a woman, HBK, I'm not sure, but I think it is. She actually wrote two poems for the different props, and we'll get them both in because we were right on time. We have just two poems left, so doing great time. And so I'm going to put in the next write. And I so hoped somebody would have wrote to this, the Christmas, the prompt with the elf was so beautiful in the woods. Pam, if you want to get to read, please.
Sure. The Christmas Elk by M.J. Donnelly. In forest cotton hushed with snow, I saw a marvelous rare sight, an elk whose countenance did glow, standing its ground, no thought of flight. It stood amidst the reaching pines, abreast to yet a trickling stream. This was one of those God-sent signs, much like in breathless, wondrous dream. Its coat was coppery brown sage, its antlers stretched like granite boughs. Its breath with ease did mist the stage, it posed without the slightest rouse. For what seemed hours I fixed my gaze, and so did he, as time stood still, as winter solstice sun did haze, for warning of a deeper chill. It watched with solemn, soulful eyes, like a wise king who was revered, amidst the raven's haunting cries. It quickly turned and disappeared. End poem.
Awesome read there, Pam. And, you know, what a wonderful write by M.J. Donnelly here. You know, he really captured the whole scene so beautifully. And, you know, what a beautiful animal that is, you know, the elk, you know, what are they called in English? In French, it's les bois there, what they have on the top of their heads.
Antlers.
Antlers, that's it. In French, it's called les bois, which is woods, if you translate it. So they're woods on top of their head, les bois. But, you know, it really captured, like, the spirit of Christmas in that elk, in a way, I just love how he started this out in forest cotton hushed with snow. Cotton hushed with snow, that's so beautiful. I saw a marvelous rare sight, an elk whose countenance did glow, standing its ground, no thought of flight. He's just there, like you said in the poem, God sent signs, much like in breathless, wondrous dreams. It's like just having a Christmas dream there. Be able to see an antler, a great animal like this in the woods. What a beautiful piece of art that is. Beautiful, beautiful piece of writing. And Pam, your thoughts. You read that so beautifully.
This is beautiful. It has wonderful rhyme and flow, beautiful imagery. I really like how it brings out the majesty of the elk. And the way it guards and protects its forest realm. Beautiful lines all the way through and very well done.
Oh, yeah. You really captured nature there in that poem. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was beautifully written. Wonderful imagery in the right, and each stanza very well penned. I was going to pick two stanzas, and I could have picked any two. They were all wonderful. But in forest, cotton hushed with snow, I saw a marvelous rare sight, an elk whose countenance did glow, standing its ground, no sort of flight. The reaching pines, abreast to a yet trickling stream. This was one of those God-sent signs, much like in breathless, wondrous dream. It's so wonderfully worded, and I think that his words paint an image just as beautiful as the image itself. It doesn't need the image as a background. It definitely can stand alone. It's just it's painted with words, and I love when I can see that in a piece. So, MC Donnelly, this was wonderful, and I want to thank you for sharing with us tonight. Great job.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. And it's so true what you said there, Phil. It is a standalone piece. It's so wonderfully well written, beautifully phrased all through. Great imagery. And brings forth, a nice, peaceful kind of emotion that flows from the piece. And I have our last write-up for the night. I hope it's long. Oh, no, I put the same one up twice. Oh, my gracious. Okay.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't?
No, you didn't, Naomi.
Oh, I can't. Okay. I looked at the wrong one. Okay, no, I put that. Okay, yeah, I hope it's a little bit real long. Okay. So Phil, will you read this last for us, please?
Sure. This is called Christmas Eve by Gary Rubin. When time and tide stand frozen and mind's reflections relax at will, night past heartache nor future dream, immersed in a serendipitous theme, gift wrap nature a splendid cake, alabaster water belly kisses the glass lake. Crescent moon sighs a tilted smile. Blue spruce snow glass egg for a mile. Snowflakes pirouette, ballet dancing round. Slowly, softly, they swaddle the ground. Footprints, paw prints fade into the white. Fond dreams of Santa as children sleep tight. Neither inhale nor exhale, peace suspends in between. Each brushstroke adds to the dream Christmas Eve scene. And same.
This is a beautiful piece. Gary Rubin, he wrote to me, he said, oh, I missed the con. He wrote this piece for the contest, and then he posted it, and he posted before, and he didn't post it in the contest, and so it wouldn't have passed the it would have been a pre-written poem. He did a mix up there somehow. And you know, what beautiful sentiments are in this snow and beautiful imagery. Snowflakes pure wet, ballet dancing around. Slowly, softly they swaddle the ground. Prints fade into the white. Fond dreams of Santa as children sleep tight. I just love that stanza there. And you know, all through it's so beautifully written. And I love the word serendipitous. The movie Serendipitous was amazing too. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like his picture with the Christmas ornament of being Kermit the Frog. And this
yeah.
has wonderful imagery. I too really like the word serendipitous and the alliteration in that line. Immersed in a serendipitous scene. And this is beautiful all the way through. Wonderful imagery, a great sense of movement throughout. And I particularly liked that second stanza, gift wrap nature, a splendid take, alabaster water lily kisses a glass lake. You know, wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, indeed. I love those lines too. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was just a really well done piece. Each one of the stanzas is just wonderful. I love the imagery throughout. And I think that I really enjoyed it. So, and I'm with you, Naomi. I grabbed the same stanza as you did. I think because I like the motion and the imagery, you can see, you know, snowflakes pure wet, ballet dancing around. Slowly, softly, they swaddle the ground. Footprints, paw prints fade into the white. Fond dreams of Santa as children fade tight. I think the snowflake image just really set it off in my mind. So very well done, and thank you so much for sharing with us, Gary Rubin. Great job.
Yeah, and this has been an awesome show. We got through all the rites, which is woohoo, amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to thank everybody for writing for the show, for the contest. We just appreciate you so, so much. You know, without your amazing rights, there would be no shows. So just, you know, thank us. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, everybody who writes. Thank you, everybody, Laura, who phoned in and was our Twisted Mister tonight. And thank you to the ones that hung out on the board part of the night. You know, well, I see Robbie's just pulled in, but you know, I saw Stelina out there. I saw Lila. Who else was out there? Damn it, Dave stepped in.
Yep.
And you know, there's other people too that will pass through the board tonight. So I want to thank you all. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, Pam and, you know, Phil for everything that you do and helping me out and putting up with me. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas to both of you and, you know, hope you have a fun one. And do we have any last words, any Christmas, upcoming Christmas shows that need rights or... we should mention,
well, we have a ton of shows, and let's see. I think that we're doing okay. Pam, we're doing okay, aren't we? You and I had talked about this all afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I mean, you know, I think Rex's contest for Sunday's show could use some rights.
Absolutely.
And, of course, for any of the shows, readers and commenters are always welcome.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We were kind of looking at rights and moving things around and juggling things, so we didn't have any empty spaces per se. But anyone who wants to offer up a poem, if the contest is closed or, you know, you have reasons please feel free to drop one on the topic board. We always do our best to try and accommodate all the rights. So, and everybody, thank you for tonight. Naomi, great show. Tam, great job doing them phones, girl. One last thing I had to worry about. but yeah, I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. I know we're coming down on that last week, and it'll be good. You know, everybody, I hope will have a smile, and we'll be here every day. We have two shows tomorrow. We have two shows Thursday. We have two shows Friday. We have one show as of right now on Saturday, and one show on Sunday. So if you can, kick back, grab a cup of hot cocoa, put your feet up, and just listen to us be crazy. So that's pretty good. And,
yeah.
Everyone has a great week. And enjoy.
Enjoy for sure.